Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning. How's everybody out there in the land of mothers and daughters? Good afternoon and good evening, because we are airing in different parts of the world now. Just want to make sure that we address everybody. And of course, just to make it easier for me, after doing the show for 14 years in the morning, it's just in me, and I'm not going to apologize for it anymore. This is it. This is the last day, last time I'm doing it. It is what it is. It's not about the timing. It's about you. It's about the nowness. And whenever you hear us, it is the right time, and it's your time, and it's the nowness that God has placed you to listen to this message. So I'm Dr. Bessie. I am your host, speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. Joining me is my co-host, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. We come just to bring you the word as the Holy Spirit put it on our hearts. And I love what we do. It is a great team. We have such synergy. It's just amazing. I see people that have programs and they have meetings, and nothing's wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, they'll have a meeting and they'll discuss, okay, this is what we're going to discuss, and this is the topic and how we're going to break it down and outline it. And what a great thing, I guess, to do, but that's not the way the Holy Spirit worked with us. He is a right now God. You know, you just right now, when I get up in the morning, I mean, I was doing all kinds of things this morning, getting ready, because we're going to be shooting television shows today. And so in getting dressed, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, okay, what is the subject now? Because, you know, I'm dueling here. What's the subject? And he just let me, I guess he said, when you calm down and stop doing multiple things, then you can listen to me. So when I finally got the topic, I said, okay, all right, I got it. And I know how to go on and proceed on the platform for the radio. So why am I saying all of that? I'm saying all that to let you know we come with to you not with our plans, not with our thoughts of what we feel is best for you, but we listen to the question or the statement or whatever it is that God wants us to discuss. And then we listen to the Holy Spirit and give it to you according to the way he gives it to us. So you are always getting a spirit-filled discussion, and I love that. And the way God worked with us, it just flows. You would think that we actually rehearsed and practiced, and I like it like that, because even when I'm speaking publicly, I don't write anything down. I just like to let the Holy Spirit flow. So just wanted to bring that out to you, mothers and daughters out there around the world, giving you a little time so that people can come on and listen. And I'm going to bring in our co-host. Let's see who we have here. We have Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Can I hear you, Deborah?
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Is that better?
Yes, yeah, a little bit. All right, let's bring Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, ladies. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, doing great, doing great. Thank God. It's a good day to be alive. It's exciting. I'm full of energy, full of purpose, and about my Father's business. How was your week last week, Debra?
My week was actually was good. I went back to work. I had been out for 5-7 days with a bad cold. But this week I eased right back into it. Wasn't a whole lot of things waiting on me. And so that's the kind of week I like when I'm coming back from any kind of vacation or sick, whatever, just be able to flow with it and not be overwhelmed with trying to catch up. So it was a good week to just blend back in. And I thank God for my healing. And just, you know, how did he do?
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad you you got through. God brought you through whatever it was and put you right back on track. He just wanted you to rest. You know, sometimes, you know, we say, oh, Lord, I just need some rest. I need some rest. And then as someone said, you know, be careful what you say because that's what you get, but then you don't always get it the way you think you're going to get it. But you want some rest? Okay, I'm gonna make sure you get some rest. Cynthia, how was your week?
You want the long version or the short one? It's been interesting. It's been interesting, and thank you guys for praying for me last week. I understand y'all was praying for me when I was going through, and it's just been something every day, different symptom every day with this medication that they have me on, and it's just been interesting. Woke up this morning with a new little surprise, but I'm trusting God, and I'm going on. I'm keep moving like I know that I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's how it was, and that's how it is, and I'm keep moving, trusting God in the name of Jesus.
There you go. I was listening to a message that was talking about, excuse me, we are, you know, what Jesus said, we're little gods, but we don't believe it. that's the problem. We don't believe we're little gods. Oh, no, I can't be a little god. You know, that's God. He said, you are the sons of God. You're a little God. And the gentleman was saying, you know, I made you God over Pharaoh. And he said, your Pharaoh is your sickness. Your Pharaoh is your lack. Your Pharaoh is anything that come against you. God made you God over those things. And then it dawned on me that Jesus even said, now I'm going to go away and I'm going to ask the Father to send you somebody that's going to come and going to comfort you and be with you, know everything. Anything you need to know, anything you want, he knows it, and he's going to be there for you. But I'm also going to give you my power. I'm going to give you the authority now to use my name. That means you can write a check and sign my name, power of attorney. And I give you authority to trample over sickness and death and all kinds of attacks that comes against you. Now, if you don't use that authority, if you don't write that check, then you stay in debt. If you don't use that authority, we stay in sickness. And then God was just telling me, he said, I'm looking at y'all and y'all, I gave it to you and you're not using it. So we're going to have to move into that. So that's all I'm saying right now, Cynthia. Move into that because you already got the authority. Speak to it and tell it to get up off of you because it has no right. Write the check and sign its name. Just write it and sign its name.
Amen. Well, God must, well, you know how God deals with you and I and we, how in sync we are. I ran across a book that I've had for, I don't know how long I had it, but it's called In the Name of Jesus. And it talks about that very, it uses that exact analogy that you just shared. So I'm on the right track, baby. That's all I'm saying. I'm on the right track because I've been standing on it, walking in it, walking on it. And so the name of Jesus by Kenneth Hagin. So I am in the right ballpark.
Of course. Of course. And that's all you got to do is stand. And he just wanted to confirm whatever it was that you were reading. He confirmed it. And so just stand. Don't even worry about it.
That's all it does. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. You know the mind is a tricky thing. It wants me to fear. It wants me to do all that, but it don't stand a chance. I will not fear. I will. Every time I'm tempted, I just put on my healing scriptures and keep it moving.
There you go. There you go. All right, Deborah said, wow, let me just sit back while they discuss that.
Amen. Amen.
That's all I got over here, y'all. Y'all don't even know what I've been through this week with all this doggone medication and stuff. And every time I wake up, I got a new little surprise waiting for me. But in the name of Jesus, I am healed and I am walking in my healing. I'm moving about like I'm already healed.
All right.
I got to do it.
All right. Woo, there you go. And so we just thank God right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Deborah and Cynthia. Thank you for the realization of their healings. Thank you for the realization of their healings.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. All right,
in
all
Jesus
right.
Name. Amen.
Well, my week last week was interesting. It was good. It was exciting. Very, you know, I was about my father's business. God has opened up part three of the Matriarch Now community. God has sent in some people, and I lined them, just line them up like soldiers, straight across the board, ready. They are prepared to do, and we've been meeting all week, just one meeting after the other, one meeting after the other. This thing is unfolding quick and fast. And we should be having some announcements in the next maybe 4 or 5 days. It has just been amazing. I feel like the Holy Spirit is just roaring up in my stomach because this is the part I've been waiting on. The part when he released me and said, go for it. Now you can go for it and you can earn the money. You can make the money. You've set it up, the community. Now you got to get the finances. So this is finance time. I'm excited. This is my ballpark. I know how to make money. I just... what could not make money because God would not release me, but I was obedient. I didn't try to be slick. I just played the game with God and said, whatever you say. But he said, I've opened up the windows of heaven and I'm pouring you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. And I said, okay, God, I've been waiting on that. I've been waiting on the word. He dropped it on me. Now he said, now you can, the peace is done. It was done for a long time. Now I release you to part three. And part three comes in with billing the finances, you know, and go get it. So that's what I'm excited about because I've always been I have a banking background. I'm good with numbers, strategies, and how to develop concepts that will earn money. And I haven't been able to do that since God got me into the ministry. He decided, no, you're going to take this path. You're going to go down this path. I need to build you. You need to know who I am. I need to take everything from you. Baby, took me from a millionaire down to nothing almost, but that nothing was the something. That nothing was to trust God. That nothing was to know that I have you. You need to know who your source is, not because I allow you to go out there and make money. You need to know who your source is. And once I got that and he got me aligned with what his assignment is, now God said, now I'm going to let you do what you know how to do best. And I have been excited all week. And then I changed my mind and I started listening and going back to where I was in the 70s when I said everything I touched turned to gold. Everything I touched turned to gold. That was my motto every day. Every day, everything I touch turns to gold. And everything I touch turned to gold. I could go in on a contract job as a consultant for corporations. I could tell them what I want, and they paid me. I never had a no when it came to contractual or whatever I want. And this is not a bragging point. This is a fact, and I don't care if you believe me or not. It doesn't matter. God knows the truth. And I'd go in there, and the Holy Spirit would say, this is what you asked for. I'd ask for it, boom, walk out with it. But then, you know, I got into just being me. I got into just traveling and going to the spa half a day and, you know, and training in the evening, just doing it my way. And now when I look back at it, yeah, I'm talking to God all day long. But I was going off track because I met someone, and then all of a sudden we traveling to Europe, traveling here, doing all this stuff. God was like, really? Is this what I asked you to do? So sometimes when we run into difficulties and we run into things that seems to be hard for us, or sickness or something, attack on our body, then we wonder why. Oh, God, what? Yeah, because I need to slow you down. You are not focusing on why I called you, what I appointed you to. When God appoints you to something, you better keep your hands on the plow. You can't just come to the field and stand up at the front row and watch everybody else plowing, and you standing up there looking, and then expect to eat the corn when the corn comes out. Oh, man, this is some sweet corn. Yeah, I want some corn. Fool, how you going to get some corn? You didn't even plant. You didn't even pull up the roots. You didn't even do nothing. You stood back and watched. And God ain't going to bless you like that. Trust me. So that's been my week. I am so motivated now. I have gotten back to my old Bessie. I don't want to hear nothing negative. I don't want to be around nobody negative, because I am in the zone where I know where God lives. And when I got ready to go to that doctor yesterday, ladies, after having 7 eye operations, I knew I had to go to the doctor on Friday. And I started on Tuesday. And I said, you know what? It is what I say it is. And I'm off of this track. I will not be on this track. I am not going to the doctor and keep saying, come back in 3 weeks. Come back in a month. And I got to treat you with this. And I got to treat. I said, that's it. I'm done. I am done. I'm off of this track. It's like cows going into a pen to be slaughtered. Just walking and falling and doing what people say and not depending on God. I am done. I am not going back through this again. No more needles in my eyes. No. When I go in there on Friday, she's going to release me and my retinas are going to be flat, no swelling, and she's going to tell me, I'll see you in a year. And the Holy Spirit said, no, she ain't going to tell you she'll see you in a year. No, she's not going to tell you that. She's going to tell you about 6 months. I said, well, I'll take that too. I said, but Holy Spirit, I need you to go in there and condition it. I need you to talk to her mind. I need all of my retinas. I need everything aligning, because I'm done. I am done with this. When I went in there, I sat in and I prayed, thanking God. I prayed, thank God. I said, God, I thank you, because I'm done. And you can have what you say. And that was proven to me. And when I walked in there, she sent a young girl in there. And that young girl came in, new doctor. She said, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so said, you know, if you don't mind, I could examine you. I said, that's fine. Because, you know, people have to practice. That's good. She came and did her little thing. They went there and they took the pictures of my eyes. And I came back. And she looked at her. She said, well, let me look at your pictures. She looked at the pictures from the last time I was there. She said, wow, your right eye is much better. And she looked at one from the right. She said, yeah, much better. Boy, I'm looking at it going, I know. When I read the chart, I read down to the second to the last level of words on that eye chart. She said, wow, I know. I didn't even tell Angie. Angie was sitting there on her phone. When she saw me doing that, she put her phone down. That's my daughter. And she looked at me like, wow. And I sat there and I read it. When she went out, she says, well, it looks like you haven't had a treatment in, you know, so many months. And she named the month. And she said, well, you think you might want a treatment in your left eye, your right eye? You know, it's improved. It's so much improved. You know, it looked like it might be just a little bit of swelling right there. But, you know, it's like a pin drop, what she was showing me. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm done with that. She said, okay, yeah, okay. All right, then, I understand. So she, doctor, be in a minute. Doctor came in. Why am I telling you this story? This is my testimony.
Amen.
doctor came in there, hi, Dr. Fletcher, how you doing? I said, I'm fine, Doc, how you doing? Fine. She said, I see your numbers are up and you read it. She said, your eyes, she said, how you feel? I said, I feel good because I don't take medication. I don't take no medication. It blows their mind when I go in there. They say, well, what do you own? Nothing. I've never take medication. They give me something, I'm like, mm-mm. Now, this ain't telling you to do what I do. It's about your relationship with God. It's about where you are in your psychic. It's about where you are in your spirit. But I paid a price. 7 eye operations. All kind of needles in my eyes. Until I said no. No, I'm done. That's it. She said to me, let me look at you. She looked at, looks good, looks good. I said to myself, mm-hmm, I know. She says, well, let's see. I guess you probably can come back in six. Well, let's just make it 3 months. She wanted to say six. But you know they got to make money. Let's just say 3 months. I said, okay. I said to myself, you ain't seeing me. I'm done. I am done. And when I decided I was done on Tuesday, you should have seen the improvement in my sight. You should have seen the stuff. Because I said, God, I need to see the dirt on my stuff, you know, dust and whatever. Because I couldn't even see that, you know, just blurry. I want to see it. All of a sudden, I look at my coffee table. I said, oh, my God, this is my coffee table? I was like, what? See me getting some vinegar water wipes. It's all glass. I was like, Jesus. So I am excited to share this today. And Ange and I left that doctor office dancing like two little kids. I said, baby, let's go have the best breakfast we can have. And I thanked her because from the very beginning, she said to me, Mama, this is just the process. And we are believing God that you're going to see better than you ever seen before when you get on the other side of this. And when me and that little girl walked out, we were dancing, we went out to eat, we were praising God. I will be driving my RV next week. I'm taking it out and we're going to get the oil change and everything that I need. I am out of here. So that's my testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because I said so. And, you know, Deborah and Cynthia, I'm not trying to make this all about me, but the Holy Spirit is telling me to share this. Somebody's going to be blessed. There's many times we've been on meetings, and I couldn't even see y'all's face. I see the images. And even I told Cynthia one time, I said, Cynthia, read the name so I know who's on there. But I didn't go into a pity party. Nobody knew what I was going through. So, Cynthia, I'm saying this to you. Be encouraged because nobody knows what you're going through. They can't help you with it. We can pray with
Amen.
You. We can pray for you. Nobody can help
Amen.
You but you. Nobody can stop it but you. And you need to say, I stop it now. I'm done with this. Get off of me. No child of God.
Amen.
So anybody out there, mothers and daughters, if you're going through, make the decision to say, that's it, I'm done. And then watch and see what happens. I'm done. The enemy can only bother you with your permission. Even God won't bother you if you tell him to leave you alone. So you know if you tell the devil to leave you alone, he has to flee. Get thee away from me. Leave me alone. Who do you think you are? Jesus, you got me preaching already, Lord. Whew. But that was my week, y'all. That was my week.
Amen.
I took my little happy step over to my daughter because my eyes was dilated. She drove my car, and I said, well, just, you know, let's go back to your house. I went out there and like a old hound dog, laid fast out in the sun on the patio in the back. Just let the sun burn me. I was in all black. Burn me up. Whew. Ladies, get ready, get ready. So that's the week. Thank you, ladies, for allowing me to share. And mothers and daughters out there, please take that as a testament to the way God will work with you, and God will yield when you yield. God will work when you say it's time to work. Whatever you say, God has given you authority. And those of you who are not saved and don't know the word of God, I suggest that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a simple thing. Just say, God, please forgive me for my sins. I repent. I will change. And I accept your son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Send the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Very simple. And just change. And just believe him. And watch and see what happens. It's not going to happen all overnight. You're going to look the same. Your body's not going to lose 50 pounds because you got saved. Your teeth are not going to straighten out. Your hair is not going to grow just because you got saved in the next year. But wait on it and watch it transition. It takes time. It's the process. But you can have you can have what you say.
Amen.
Whew. All right, ladies, mm-hmm. Today the question is, can a mother and daughter separate from each other? That's the question. I've already preached. Now I'm going to answer say what the Lord has asked me to say about this particular question. Then I'll be right back for you ladies, okay?
Okay.
All right, mothers and daughters out there, God had me to share that part with you. That's the testimony. I will be preaching and teaching that word wherever I go. I told God, you take me up out of here. I will give you all the praises and the glory because nobody knows from which I came. Nobody. I didn't even tell my daughter all of it because she would have gotten too nervous and would have gotten, you know, mama, oh, mama, mama. I don't need it. You don't need nobody around you that's going to be fearful for you. And because she loves me and because she knows what we went through with my mother, there was similar stuff, and her looking at me as a woman of God didn't want me to go through that. And I knew I wasn't going through it. I knew. I used to tell my mother, Mother, you can turn this around. Nobody can turn it around but you. You can talk to the preacher. You can talk to me as a Christian clinical psychologist. I can't turn it around for you. That's why I tell my clients, you have your own answer. You have God in you. Use your own God. It's like the ocean. You go to the ocean, you get a little bit of water out the ocean. Use your own ocean water. Still a part of the whole. You can't separate that from the ocean. You can't. There's no separation between the water you get out the ocean in a jar and the ocean water that's out there on the land. It's still the same. It's the same water. It's the same ocean. My God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What a tie-in. I didn't even realize what you were doing. You see how the Holy Spirit tied that thing in? That's the same thing with mothers and daughters. There's no separation between the mother and her daughter. Lord God. That's powerful. I didn't even see him coming. You see how the Holy Spirit just moved that in there? So when we say, can a mother and daughter separate from each other? No. It's simple as that. No. They cannot. A mother and daughter cannot be separated. And I'll tell you why. Because we are all one. See, if you're going to believe the Bible, you got to believe all the Bible. And all the Bible is, we are all one. There's no separation between us and God. There's no separation between us and the Spirit, because the Spirit is one. And the Spirit is that little bit of water that you get out of the ocean. See, I'm Bessie. And let's just look at God as the ocean. And I'm that little bit of God that he has out here doing various things. Cynthia is that little bit of God that he has her doing. Deborah is that little bit of God that he has her doing. And you, mothers and daughters, are that little bit of God that he has. And if you could focus your mind, if you could focus your mind and on seeing that you are part of the whole, he says, I am the branch and you are the branch and I am the vine. What do you think that means? That means you are branched out from me. Most people think in their mind of a tree. And you can look at that as one way to look at it. But you are branched out from me. We are all part of the body of Christ. So just think of umbilical cords attached to us from God. And we're just dingling. You just see us all, 7 billion people around the world, you know, just dingling all up around, you know, and everything's attached to God. There's no separation. It's just like the sun. And you see the beams from the sun, the rays, and you see how they just extend short and long and all over the place. That's how we are attached to God. So that same power that flows from the branch, the vine, is extended to the branch. But if you don't believe it, then you cut off your flow. But if you believe it, you flow. And so I can recall sometimes when people would say to me, well, why is it that so-and-so, God will allow them to have money and doing all kinds of things, and they're really not good people, Dr. Fletcher. They're not good people. They do all kinds of stuff. She rip and run, and I heard she cutting out on her husband, and that, you know, always in somebody else's business. None of your business. But now you're wondering why she's riding around in the Bentley and you driving a Volkswagen. I go to church, I praise God, and I give my tithe, and that ain't nothing happened to me. That's why. That's why nothing's happened to you. Because you are murmuring and complaining. You are the children of Israel. Murmuring and complaining. And when you're murmuring and complaining, you cannot walk into the promised land. You cut off your flow. You cut off the flow to your health. You cut off the flow to your wealth. You cut off the flow to your joy, your happiness, your prosperity. You cut off the flow to people that could come, that has that joy and that flow that you could enjoy your life with. You cut that off, and then you attract the people that has that same negative spirit. And that's why this week I had a meeting with Bessie. I had a meeting with Bessie. I don't care what you say. I ain't looking for you to be my best friend. I'm not looking for you to pump me up. I'm not looking for you to make me feel good. I've never been one of those kind of people anyway. But I'm definitely not putting up with a whole suicide, sap, boop, bop, dop. No, I don't want to hear it. Take it over to the other side. And when you get yourself together, then you come back over here. Because I am not going to allow any negativity to come into my space. We have to control our own branch. Now, you open the door for it, you're going to get it. I'm not opening the door. So mothers and daughters out there, you cannot be separate from each other. It's impossible for you to be separated from each other. So you need to get yourself together. If you don't work to make your relationship better, you're going to have a dead branch hanging off of you, mother. Because you're considered the vine in this area. And that daughter, the branch from you. Everything branches off, branches off, branches off, branches off. So you're going to have a dead branch attached to you. Because you can't cut it off. You can't get rid of it. It's attached to you. So wouldn't you want to just go ahead and water that branch and help that branch flourish and grow and nurture that branch, feed that branch, love on that branch, prune the branch? You can't cut it off, but you can prune it. And daughters, you can prune the branch of your mother. You know, she's all the way up there. She's a branch from the vine above her. But you can prune it. And when you prune it, oh, it gets new life. The leaves just stands out. Just like yesterday when I went to my daughter's house and she has these flowers right by the door. They started off little plants. And I tell you, those things done growing up, they're like bushes. So when you walk through the door, it's like, wow, two big pots of plants there that just have grown. I mean, it was like the perfect spot. They are absolutely gorgeous, and they are about 4 feet tall on both sides of her door. She said, Mom, it's like going through a jungle to get through the door. I said, well, you're going to have to move one over. They got a porch, then just move the other one over and balance it out. But when we was coming in, I said, oh, look at you. I said, Angie, now look at this plant. It's so sad, this weep, it was just leaning, you know, the little leaves are just kind of wilt over. She said, Mom, I tell you, so much sun come on it, just, you know, either. And she's not a plant person. Lord knows she's trying to do it. And she said, it just, you know, and I keep forgetting, and got the water bucket right there. I just keep forgetting. I said, Angie, give her some water. She went, got the water, came back, watered the plant, both of them. But it was one in the corner that was just a little wilt. She watered that plant. And by the time I got ready to leave and we was walking back out, she said, oh, my God, Mom. I mean, the leaves were just standing up like, hello, hi, I'm alive. I said, yeah. See, if you just water it, water your mother and daughter relationship. Water it. And you're going to see the difference. You're going to see the difference. I have a young lady that I'm working with, and she was disconnected from her family, her children. They're like, they didn't want to be bothered. Everybody busy. Now, how are you going to just go on and don't talk to your mama? I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. A mother and daughter not talking is the craziest thing I can even imagine. A mother and son not talking, craziest thing. But yet, when you get older and they act like they don't want to talk to you, now you offended. No, you didn't have time for me. You had time for my sister. You had time for my brother. You had no time for me. And then I'm the one got to come take care of you. Because they're out there running around doing what they want to do with their life. Come on now. You get what you put out there. You get what you say. You get what you put in. So she was like, I said, don't worry about it. These are the things that the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you to do. I said, then watch and see. And I guarantee my counseling. I guarantee it works. Because I believe it works. Because I know the Holy Spirit does the work. See, that's how I can guarantee you. And I tell my clients, I guarantee you this is going to happen. I told her, I said, I guarantee you your daughter's going to be talking to you. Give me a number and I'll call her. But the Lord never told me when to call her. All of a sudden the other day, because I tell the mother, Mother, you got to clean yourself up. Once you clean yourself up, love you, water you, prune you, that will flow through that invisible and biblical cord to your daughter, to your sons. You won't even know what happened. You just notice some change coming around. You'll be like, wow. My daughter called her and said, Mama, would you like to come and have dinner with us on Sunday? She said, oh, my God. She said, yeah. She said, what would you like to eat? She said, well, whatever. She was like, I'll eat whatever you got. You know what I mean? She said, well, whatever. Because I know whatever you cook is going to be good. You're a good cook. She said, okay. We'd like to have you come eat dinner with us on Sunday. Hadn't done that in years. So I told her, I said, you go. Shut your mouth, enjoy your grandkids, listen, don't have a lot of opinions, just be. Because sometimes when you have busy mothers and they think they're busy and they're doing this, and a lot of successful things they've done in their life, the younger ones, your daughters, are looking at you, and then when you go in there talking about, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and this is happening, that's happening, da 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 da, then they just sit back and look. And she said, her daughter said, Mama, this is not all about you. My daughter used to tell me that, Mama, this is not all about you. And I knew right then, I'm talking too much. It's like I'm sharing all the stuff. Nobody want to hear all about what you're doing. It's okay to say something. And I didn't realize I was just talking. Now, I don't get in there talking about me. I go in there and we talk family stuff. I don't tell them half what I'm doing. They don't have a clue what I'm doing. I tell my daughter certain things, but I don't overpower her because I don't want her to think that she has to compete or look or do or be anything like me. So now she's going to dinner tomorrow, excited to go to dinner because what she did started loving herself, watering herself, pruning herself, and that energy and love flowed right on down that vine into that branch. And now all of a sudden, the branch just said, woke up and said, wow, I think we should have mother over for dinner on Sunday. Don't even know why she even thought about it. Because you send her love. So mother, you cannot separate from your daughter. It's impossible. And now, let's go to Deborah.
Yes. Wow, that was good, as always. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, I have some tips on how to avoid the division that the enemy tries to bring in between people, not just necessarily mother, daughter, mother, son, mother, people, because he's out to destroy and cause division. And some of the tips that I see here is when having a relationship with your daughter or whoever that family be, accepting the person as they are is always a key tip to establishing a healthy relationship. Because sometimes as parents, we want to dictate, you know, what they should be, what they should study, who they should go out with, who they should marry, who all the other things that they want to decide for the child. The child might not like playing the piano. She might like playing the flute. She might not like track. She might like soccer. She might not like, you know, whatever it is that, you know, the parents try to do at that age. And sometimes that become an issue and have a wall and start to be an issue where there's no communication, no harmony. There's no moments of peace because there's a disconnect. Being present and direct, when people have conversations, they should be able to communicate with the family member, be able to communicate with the daughter, and just stay true to yourself, grounded in your own integrity. Be direct and assertive when you express yourself. Set boundaries. These are things that will help the relationship not go sour, not be divisive, not be negative, not be detrimental to the family. Because when the mother and daughter or the child has are in a relationship, it affects other family members. It affects other people in household. So it's important that you try to seek harmony and peace and be you know, a person with boundaries. It's important to set those boundaries. It can include the amount of time you spend with your daughter or avoiding certain topics. For example, let's talk about siblings, me and my sibling relationship. There's certain topics I'm learning not to bring up. Don't talk about nothing her kids doing, even though they're grown, full-grown kids. I see that every time we have a big blow-up, and it happens, that it's because of the kids. And I'm still learning my sister, just like I'm learning my mom, because I've been away from all of them equally the same amount of time. When I left, I didn't only leave my mother, but I left the family. And I just wanted to sidebar that, because now I'm back in the picture, her mom relationship is real, real close. So when I come around too much or when I talk about my nieces and nephews, those are relationship, I mean, those are situation conversations that usually cause me to get a timeout or it causes me to shut down or cause us to have a couple of words of not so nice. And so I'm learning about boundaries, very, very important in our relationships, find a common ground. I look for stuff to agree with her on, to build her up, to try to add more positivity to the relationship. I seek support. I talk to family members. I even talked to you, Dr. B, before about certain things with my mom and getting a better perspective from a different person that I trust because I'm like the water in the bottle. I can't read my label. So I need people outside of me that can help me make healthier decisions or give me healthy information. So it's important when you're dealing with the kids, don't always come from a mother point of view. Don't always assume because you're grown that you're right. Don't always assume that you got to have last word because you're grown. It's got to be a situation where it's a win-win. Again, last week we talked about being able to communicate, a time to listen, a time to talk. And so these are tips that will help you to keep a relationship in a perspective of harmony, at least cordial, hospitable. And so because the older the kids get, and I usually talk from more of a young point of view. I don't know why the youth just always dear in my heart. So I usually talk like mid-teens, like right in that area, because that's when the teens start, you know, thinking they're grown and for the boys smelling themselves, thinking they all that. And so these are the challenging times where parents find that the kids start going left. So the way that you keep them is you let them be their person with respect. You let them know some things you ain't going to tolerate. You set them boundaries, and you learn to be direct and keep the communication where I listen, you talk, and it's a win-win. And as you grow, you learn stuff. And certain conversations that's off grid for conversation because they set on what they set on. They might not want to serve God because they see that we don't do so well in serving God. So we can't get mad with them because we're not representing Christ like we should. So you're going to go to church, everything in my house, me and my household are going to be saved, we're going to serve the Lord. But sometimes they see that we ain't serving God like we should be serving God. We might be putting a distaste in their heart for God. So we got to just make sure that we come back to the person in the mirror and am I representing, am I saying what I mean when I say, is my audio matching my video? Because sometimes it's not always the relationship that's at jeopardy of being severed. It's because what we see and what we say ain't lining up. So they already got a wall saying that we two-faced or we hypocritical. And so it's important that we always be able to walk what we talk and ask God to give us the words to say, be active and always set the boundaries and be willing to listen more and talk less.
Amen.
Those are tips to help you not be severed. Keep the mother and daughter relationship, rebuild it, and help them understand what your God is calling them to do as a mother and daughter, as a unit, and not separate.
That's good, Deborah. That's good. And the good thing about it, you know, mothers and daughters out there, we always share our story. We want you to know, well, come to you perfect. We're working on our relationships too. I'm working every day with my daughter on our relationships. I just love her so much that I love her more than I love not talking to her. I can tell you that. You have to find out which one you want. Hey, I love her more. I love being with her, laughing with her. She's my friend. She gives me energy. I love that feeling. So I learned a long time ago, No. I'm miserable if we have a disagreement. I mean, I'm miserable. I get sick in my stomach. I'm not going to feel that. I immediately call and apologize. I'm not going to let the devil beat me up and her too. He going to knock both of us out at the same time like a bowling ball. The devil is a liar. Thank you, Deborah.
Amen.
All right. Cynthia?
Yeah, good stuff, ladies. Good stuff, ladies. Deborah, I heard you say that, and you use the analogy of your mother and your daughter, I mean your mother and your sisters, and you being one of the branches, you have to know where your place is on the vine. I love that. I love that. In analogy, that's what you said. And so what comes to mind is just let's tell the audience what it means to separate, because it doesn't mean to break off as a branch, because you are connected to the vine, which is your mother for life. And she is a branch of Christ if she is a believer in Christ. So what does it mean, can a mother and daughter separate? Separation occurs when both mother and daughter distinguish themselves as two different people. I heard Dr. Fletcher says that she knows her place as she has an adult daughter, and she knows when to do what. If Deborah mentioned boundaries, she knows what to say and what not to say. So in both of these cases with Dr. Fletcher and Deborah, they're learning when to say things and when not to say things. So they know the proper watering is needed, and they know when not to put too much water on the plant. Otherwise, you're going to kill it.
Come
we have
now.
To learn to shut our mouths.
Come on.
And when you are the same or one, you, mother and daughter, y'all the same as one, the relationship is symbolic, symbiotic. And God has created us to stay connected to our moms. We're never supposed to separate from our mom in a sense where we have all this contention and conflict and stuff, because I know Dr. Bell wouldn't mind me saying this, but when it comes to our relationships, mother and daughter relationships, and we're going back and forth with words and not knowing when to fall back. She said it to me, and I got it. Do you want to be loved, or you want to be right? Know when to water the conversations that y'all have, and know when to just hold off on the water. You don't have to pour it all in there at one time. So it involves interaction between the two different organisms in a proper relationship. Living in close physical association, we have to, if we want to be loved by your mother or your sister, you have to know when to say what. And there's a time when you just sit there and listen, like Dr. Fletcher said, like Deborah said. With no space between the two of you, you have a distinct purpose in those relationships, and there is no space with each of you can detach yourself from each other if you want to be part of continue to be part of the tree. So what happens when we are cut off? What happens when we're cut off? John 15, as Dr. Fletcher said, I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. Your mother and daughter relationship should be watered. You guys should not be cutting each other off. And when we don't know how to shut our mouth, we cut each other off sometimes from the relationship because you don't want to be around the person who you don't feel respected by. I heard Deborah mention that word more than once, boundaries. We have to set boundaries for our individuality in the relationship. We're never to separate because God put us together. Like, how you gonna just make a decision to cut off the branch when you are simply part of something bigger than you? If you stay in Christ and he in you, you are to stay in relationship with the ones he's given you. Come on now. You are already attached. So why do you want to be detached? Most people out there looking for their mama. So if they didn't grow up with them, and you have a mama right there, and you're going to cut yourself off because you're trying to be so independent of her? No. Dr. Fletcher said it best. We can never, in good health or in good intentions, cut ourselves off from our mother or our sisters or the Lord. But guess what? You got a choice. You got a choice. If you remain in me, Jesus said, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in your family, you will bear much fruit. If you're the only believer in that family, you will bear much fruit if you learn when to say what, when to say it. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. That's good, Cynthia. That's good. That's good. Man, oh, man. See what I'm talking about, mothers and daughters out there? Unrehearsed, unpracticed, just doing what God asks us to do according to what he's saying as we listen to the word of God in our hearts. Ladies, that was very, very good. I thank you so very, very much. And I want to just say to the audience, this to me is like a new beginning for us at the Matriarch Now community. And I invite each and every one of you all to come. Join us. We are part of a community that we want to be able to have you, other women, that's just like Cynthia, Deborah, and myself, that are out here hearing the word of God, being able to share. We can't change things for you, but we can share the love of God. We can share what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And something in that conversation will touch you. And when it touches you, you make a decision to receive it. And once you receive it, it becomes a part of you and it lives inside of you. That's all we can do. It's just come, water the seeds that you have, and hopefully they'll grow. But in order for them to grow, you got to decide, wow, that feels good. Yeah, that makes sense to me. You will know it because it'll feel good to you. It's the same thing that goes when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, people say, oh, you know, that's so simple. It is simple. It is simple. It's just that simple to receive your healing. It's just that simple to receive the finances you need. It's just that simple to receive abundance. It's just that simple to get your husband, your wife. It's just that simple to have children or raise children. But we make it complicated because we are in the world and we base our lifestyle and what we do, what we see in the world. And therefore, we get a worldly experience. But if you base your relationship on the word of God and base your relationship on the Spirit of God, then you're going to get a spiritual experience. That's why you hear some people say, oh, I got healed. I went, so-and-so prayed for me, and I got healed. You were already healed. You just decided, oh, I am healed. And it just, it manifests itself into your physical realm. It's already there, just like salvation. It's already there. You're not creating salvation. You're not making something. It's already done. When God said it is done, it is finished, it was done and finished, and there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in you that you have to create or beg for. It is already done. So simple. The simplicity is to say, I receive it, and I thank you for it, Father.
Amen. Amen.
And Dr. Fletcher, it is so, so beautiful to see how you and Angie has grown. You guys know, you know when to do what, you know when not to say what. You know, it's all about discipline. And verse 8 of John 15 says this: this is to the Father's glory, that you stay attached to your family. I'm paraphrasing here. That you bear
okay,
much
we only
fruit.
Got a few seconds, Cynthia. We got, you know, we
yeah.
Yeah,
we're done. I'm done. I just wanted to read that last. Showing yourselves to be disciples is showing yourself to be disciplined.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me share that.
All right. Thank you. You know, we're on a time frame here. All right, mothers and daughters out there. Hold on. Deborah said that. I'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right,
thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr.
I started it all over again. Thank you, ladies. It was a pleasure. What a show. What a show. This is one of the top ones, and I pray that they all get it. See you next week, ladies.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.